It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. It is Wednesday. This is the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are live here in the Kia Studios. Mike, Bo, and Tiff hanging out here with you. Lots of news that we will cover today, from NFL trades to the Super Bowl being right here in our backyard as the owners' meetings went down this week in Atlanta. So lots to get to, but how was the evening?
I've had better evenings. I had to go pick Amy up from the airport, which doesn't make it bad. It was long, and I'm a timer. Right, I like to time things out. I don't like to wait. I don't like to do the loop at the airport. So I was trying to time it out perfectly, and I actually did. I got it to a T, about as good as you can. But for some reason, she was in the North Terminal, and for some reason, where you pick people up, they have these cones set up to basically not allow you to change lanes right now. And so I went to the far right lane. And I was trying to explain it to Mike, who is just acting ridiculous and won't listen.
Yes, they were having an argument this morning.
Doesn't
about
make sense to me. Sorry. Doesn't
the
make
airport.
Sense.
Well, I don't care if it makes sense to you or not. The reality is, if you go all the way to the right to get close to the door, and I want my pregnant wife to not have to walk far and all that kind
That's
of stuff.
That's not what the argument was.
And I didn't say that. If you let me finish, Michael. Starting to realize what that P is for and know your name.
Finish.
And they have it coned off, right? And you can't switch lanes. So there's a guy in front of me who did not time it out well, Tiff. And so he is refusing to go because he doesn't want to do the loop. So we get to the end of the cones where the cones end and you can move freely through lanes, and he just stops. He just stops and gives it. And I'm in a truck, obviously, because I'm a man. I drive a truck. And I need enough room to get around him. And he stopped.
Question, are these cones at a diagonal? So, like, you can...
This is exact.
They're straight.
I've never been to an airport, Tiff, where they won't let you out of the far right lane. I've never even... I think he's misunderstanding what the situation was here.
Oh, okay. So I was supposed to run over the freaking cones?
Is that what you want me to do, just run them over,
Michael?
Have you ever been into an airport pickup where they won't let you out of the far right lane?
I am telling you, the lanes were coned off.
So what I'm asking is...
Yes.
Did the lanes gradually cone off? So was it going at a slant so that it merged everybody?
It was like the pick and choose rule in NASCAR, where you come up, you choose which lane you're in, and you're in that lane until you get to the very end of the drop off pickup, and then the cones just end abruptly. Okay. They basically put them with the dotted lines of a lane.
So the cones are laid out before you even
get down.
Okay.
You had to pick. And so I picked. I said, I'll go far right. I don't want anybody walking across. Plus, this lane moves slower. I'm okay with that. It gives her time to get out. But this guy didn't time it out right. And
he had the same thought.
Yes, but he failed, so he needs to do the loop.
Right.
Okay?
Well,
so when
like
the cones end... They just end abruptly, so you can just start going, and you can change lanes to get into 75 North, 85 North, or the South, or if you want to do the loop. Well, he just stops at the end of the cones, and I'm like, oh, I said a lot of words. I laid on the horn, and I was able to maneuver the truck around him, But it's just so inconsiderate. Like, hey, I get it. I know what you're doing. We're all trying to do the same thing. But when you get to the end of the line and we can move freely, you got two choices, dude. Either get out of the damn way or I'm going to move you out of my way.
I just wonder if we've got maybe a listener that works in the North Terminal Airport that can be like, nah, man.
I don't go over to the North.
That wasn't what. Do I?
She's
I
a Delta the north only. Side.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's about.
Well, that's what happens when your company books a flight.
Yeah.
Not mine. Hers.
If I may.
Yeah. I would book it on my own if I could.
Well, she tried and it was outrageous.
Yeah.
I have one question.
Good.
And Bo, you are absolutely right about the dude should have either done the loop, but there also is the cell phone lot has moved, but there still is a cell phone lot.
Yeah, but it's not, at least on the south terminal, it's like not even close. Like they're basically like, you need to go to the other side of the airport for the cell phone lot.
No, it's not that. The cell phone lot is not that far from me, the terminal. I was just in the cell phone lot.
Oh, how do you like it when someone disputes what you say, Mike?
You might be right. All I know is it's not where it used to be.
No, it's not where
building,
it used to be. It used to
like
be
a parking deck.
It used to be right next to the yes. South Terminal, like literally leading right up to it. But it's a little farther off now, but it's not that far away.
None of that matters.
So Mike does not believe that.
The only thing that matters is this guy was a jerk.
Yes, and someone was inconsiderate.
I'm just, okay.
Okay, all right.
I don't know, man. I've never heard of this kind of setup. Can't say if it was right or wrong, but.
No, Bo is right about the setup. He is right about the cones.
Why would they do that? That's.
They just don't. They don't want people going and swerving in between lanes.
They don't. Thank you. They don't want you.
Which I actually like that setup. I've just never seen it done like that.
I don't mind the setup either. What I mind is morons. That's what I mind. And that
selfish
guy was
people.
One.
Because most of the traffic in that pickup drop off is because of people stopping in one lane and swerving in between lanes, and it just causes more congestion than there needs to be.
So I apologize, Tiffany. How was your night?
Well, I bought a Peloton.
Okay.
So there you go.
I'm hoping that it will change my life. So I don't know if I'm sure there are probably plenty of people that are listening to the show that ride Peloton. So
I'll be curious to see who your instructor is.
So, well, I actually have a former Georgia Stater an instructor.
Nice.
Matt Wilpers.
Nice.
So he teaches, I think he does, obviously biking, and then he's a really great like distance runner. So he's done marathons, everything. So he coaches that as well.
Nice.
So yeah, I need to figure. Well, you can take any instructor, right? You don't have to stay with the same.
No.
One.
I mean, but like the further you get into it, the more you kind of like somebody has the right music for you or the right tone or pushes you the right. Yeah, I mean, like you know, I think is it Kendra? I think was always a pleasure. There's a number. I mean, there's just some of them are funny. I Pelotoned obviously during COVID. You know, because I was coming from coaching and moving around all day, and then I wasn't, and so that was kind of tough. And so my wife had a Peloton. My wife still does like every single night, and then she does the app on the TV sometimes to do the actual moving around workout. So she loves it. So I'm glad you were able to do that, man. That's cool.
That's what I did. So I think it actually gets. They're shipping fast, so I think it actually gets here tomorrow.
Boom! They're like, get this thing in there.
Basically, so we'll see, guys. Maybe I'll be,
triathlete,
smiley in the morning. Well, the goal, because I know some people, friends at WSB were telling me. Allison was telling me some of her colleagues work the morning shift. Someone will actually ride at 1 a.m. before going to do the. You know, they start at 3 a.m. or whatever it is. They start.
What time they go to bed?
I don't even want to know what that life's about. Yeah. I'm already, we're already sampling it right now.
Yeah.
So
that's an early bedtime if you're getting up at 1 a.m. to ride the ton.
Mm. Yeah. I'm good. I'll ride in the afternoon.
All right. Well, I know we have a lot of trades. Mike, did you do anything last night?
No, absolutely nothing.
Okay.
Literally absolutely nothing. And I hello to my wife if she's listening, because I don't think I said one word to her yesterday. It was kind of just a high five passing in the hallway.
All right.
Yeah.
Two ships in the night.
Seriously.
This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured, hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Okay, well, lots of trades going down in October in the NFL. Sounds so weird to say, but the big news that came out was Davante Adams is now reuniting with his former Packers teammate and quarterback Aaron Rodgers. So the Raiders received a 2025 conditional third-round pick in the trade, and that pick could improve to a second-round selection. This is what sources told ESPN's Adam Schefter. And if Davante Adams is a first or second team All-Pro this season or is on the Jets' active roster for the AFC Championship or the Super Bowl, then, that's when all that stuff could improve the could improve the trade.
I'm curious from a team level who had kind of the final call on this. You know what I mean? Like from any, obviously, you look at general manager, Woody Johnson, obviously he's very heavy-handed and everything going on here. But like from a team football level, like who had the call? You know what I mean? Because obviously Robert Saleh's not there anymore. You're not going to let Jeff Ulbrich make the call. Do they even want to hear Aaron Rodgers has to say, you know, because it's a lot of money long term? Curious of kind of where that vibe came from in terms of saying, yeah, he fits what we're doing. You know what I mean? Because it just, you're like, okay. And the unfortunate thing is when I hear the news, I just wondered in my head, is Devontae Adams going to be right back in the same situation next year that he was in Vegas this year?
I think he'll be happy there as long as Aaron Rodgers is there.
Well, that's my point.
And I think Aaron Rodgers will be there another year. I think Aaron Rodgers is the one that made the call. I think that's the only person that mattered. You just look at the way things have played. That's not me against Aaron Rodgers. I don't really have an issue with Aaron Rodgers like a lot of people do. He irritates me, and he's a very egocentric human being, but in the reality of the situation is he's now got Garrett Wilson and Devontae Adams, and he wanted Devontae Adams, and he didn't like Mike Williams over there. I don't think him and Mike Williams are working out, and now, boom, that's what you got. They move money around, but they haven't moved the money the next 2 years, which I think is non-guaranteed. One of the years is non-guaranteed, I know. So it's interesting, but you know, it's Hassan Reddick has now been given permission to get traded, and don't think about it. It's not happening. It's not coming here. I heard John McClain on with Dukes and Bell yesterday, and he said it perfectly. There's a reason why Hassan Reddick bounces from team to team. Yet he's being as productive as he is, and he doesn't fit. And I don't know if he fits what they have working here. He fits from a production matter.
No.
There's a reason.
Stop. I mean, look, Amari Cooper's on his fifth team. He's pretty productive too. So you feel the same way about him?
I think it's a little bit different getting traded from Cleveland and getting traded from Philadelphia.
All right, we will digest some more of the trades that have gone on in the NFL on the other side. And we've got to break down this Falcons-Seahawks matchup for you. That's on the other side. We come back on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back here. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here on the morning shift, a whole lot of trades went down in the NFL. We talked about Devontae Adams, who's now reuniting with Aaron Rodgers, his former Packers teammates, on the Jets. That was via trade. And then for the Bills, they received Amari Cooper and a 2025 sixth-round draft pick for a 2025 third-round pick and a seventh-round selection in 2026. Of course, they got this from the Browns, which is where Amari Cooper was previously playing. So the Bills completed the deal hours after their AFC East rivals, the Jets, got their own with Devontae Adams. And
I love that move for the Bills. I love them for both teams. I think Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers seem to coexist well. I thought it was funny. He was on McAfee yesterday. He just kind of peeks his head in, and he's like, hey. I thought it was cool. But I love Amari Cooper as a player. I think he's a guy that just quietly puts up numbers. He went from the Raiders to the Cowboys, and he produced well in Dallas, and they refused to pay him. And then he goes to Cleveland, and he has to put up with Deshaun Watson for a few years, and whatever the garbage output that is. I mean, he had some good times with Joe Flacco, but he still put up numbers, and now he gets to go to play with Josh Allen. I think Josh Allen probably will get a receiver that can put up numbers that doesn't pitch hissy fits on the sidelines, so that's good for him.
Well, they had that at least. I'm not calling anybody out, but with this receiver group that they have that I had in week one, they very much felt that way, that this was a group that – there wasn't anybody that was going to be maybe blowing up on the sidelines. They all felt very much like they were a tight-knit group, and now they get to add Amari Cooper to the mix.
Yeah, and I'll be curious to see what that relationship's like. I'm with Bo. I don't know why, you know, you don't pay him at certain places, and, you know, now he's on his fourth team. I think if you're Buffalo and you just got out of a situation where the chemistry in the wide receiver room is not great, I think you're very, very careful as, you know, as what moves you're making and the personalities you're bringing in. But evidently they felt comfortable enough that Amari Cooper was the guy. And look, man, I've watched Amari Cooper for a long time. He's a Bama guy. He is an extremely good and decisive route runner and always has been and has a great hands. I don't know, you know, what the top end speed is like at this age, at this point in his career. But man, he's a guy who always seems to be in the right places at the right time, runs good routes. And I think they're going to be somebody, I think he's going to be somebody they can rely on. And let's be honest, man, they needed a one. Khalil Shakir, he's been fine, right? But they needed kind of that guy up there.
And Keon Coleman is still growing.
Still learning, yeah.
I think the biggest thing for Amari is going to be adjusting to Josh Allen and kind of how Josh Allen can, like Patrick Mahomes, like Aaron Rodgers did at one point in his career, keeps plays alive without running forward, but to kind of look for the receiver. Remember, he did it in the Monday night game.
That's such a good point because in my head, I'm like, Amari Cooper's going to have to get in good shape because these plays are going to last twice as long than they ever have in his career. Like, these plays are going to literally last twice as long as they ever had in his career. I hope he's ready for that.
And all it does is create opportunities for you. If you adjust to that,
show me your numbers. Show me your numbers, man.
Creates opportunities for you if you're always looking out for your quarterback because he's looking out for you. He's looking to throw to you because Josh Allen loves – there's no doubt he can run and run physically and gain a lot of yards. Yeah. But I think he's at a point where he understands – don't do it. There is a moment to do that, and there's a moment to look for the guy open.
This also from ESPN. The Minnesota Vikings acquired running back Cam Akers for the second time in 12 months, so this time from the Houston Texans in exchange of a 2026 conditional draft choice. The team confirmed yesterday. So the Vikings will send a conditional 2026 six-round draft pick to the Texans in exchange for a conditional 2026 seventh-round draft pick as part of the deal.
Yeah, I think it's just to keep Aaron Jones fresh kind of thing. I don't think it has anything to do with anything other than that. Hey, it's kind of like we've seen here. And I know we're going to get into the Falcons here in a minute, but I was looking at the numbers, guys, for the Seahawks, and our second leading rusher has more yards than their leading rusher. And I think that's pretty interesting. And I think that's kind of the point is you have two guys that can do it, you keep guys fresh.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about it. And you know, to your point, we've had this conversation, and Goforth and I had this conversation on the post game. It's like everybody's so quick to say, well, Bijan's RB1 or Algier needs to, you know, be RB1. Who cares? Neither one of them are as good without the other one. All right, they both get worn down. You don't want a running back at this point in the year to have 33 carries. And so I think that's one of the things they're trying to avoid up there in Minnesota right now.
And they're so – would you say that Cam Akers in some ways and Aaron Jones are similar in the same in their own likeness as in the same way that Bijan and Tyler Algier have a ton of similarities? So
yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, and when you look at these two teams, you can see how the Seahawks, their running game wasn't as effective last week for them, right? Yeah. But then you had the Falcons who put up 200 rushing yards combined with Algier and Bijan.
Yeah, the running game is just something that it seems like they are opting out of when it comes to Seattle. And we talked a little bit yesterday about the fact that Ryan Grubb is their offensive coordinator. He was a guy that was in Tuscaloosa for like 4 days with Kalen DeBoer and then was like, you know what? It turns out I don't want to recruit. I'd much rather kind of visit the combine, see what I want, kind of pluck the talent from there. And he's been able to get that done. But this offense has been extremely, I think, frustrating for Seattle fans. There seems to be a rift between DK Metcalf and Geno Smith and what is the running game and what do you need out of the running game. The offensive line, I know it's been widely regarded as one of the worst as far as running the ball in the NFL, man. It's just not what they do. So to your point, Tiff, you look at the running game for Seattle and all the questions you have about this defensive line and what they're bringing to the table for Atlanta. It's like, you know what? This is kind of a good matchup. So hopefully it's maybe a little statistical get-right game for that defensive front.
Yeah, they only had 52 yards combined in their loss to the 49ers. So not good.
Well, and they've got two backs that their usage is very, very close. When you look at Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet, who's on my fantasy team, so if you're going to use anybody, use him.
Sorry to hear that.
Their touches – Kenneth Walker has two more carries and two more receptions, and two more touchdowns, and actually, well, just really one more touchdown overall. But it's kind of crazy. 51 carries to 49, 21 receptions to 19. Getting when they were winning games, they started off 3-0. Zach Charbonnet was a huge part of that offense. As far as, and he's tailed off a little bit the last few weeks. I know because he was on my bench when he was doing it, and then I put him in and he stopped doing anything.
I think that's the key to them.
But also running the football is key. These teams are it is crazy that you're going to see the 27th worst run defense in the league in Seattle and the 25th in Atlanta worst run defense.
So something's got to give.
So I would the thing I would go to is Seattle is averaging under 100 yards in the NFL running the football, which is bad in today's league. And the Falcons now they're right around 114, which is still bottom tier in the league.
Doesn't that blow your mind for a minute?
Well, I think it
after
does.
Last week.
But you know what? Let's go back to the beginning of the season.
Collect yourself.
Yeah, I was because, like, don't get angry at me.
Well, no, I'm saying go back because you weren't.
He's going to be happy.
I am happy. I'm happy because, look, you know what our third down conversion rate number is right now?
34.4%.
Okay, since you're looking at it. All right. Hey, tough guy, can you tell me what it was going into the Tampa game?
26%.
I told him during
Where's
the break.
That one? No, you didn't. I knew told the pregame, you during the pregame. Break. I know what it was because I talked about it in the pregame show.
I told you during the break. So right. The point is that the Falcons' run offense, which going into the Tampa game, they were only averaging 102.8 yards a game. They've added, 11 yards of that in 2 weeks. So yeah. They're possessing the ball more. The offense is moving. It's working more as one unit. The offensive coordinator is doing stuff, Mike, with the run game that we haven't seen before.
Mm.
And now we've got ESPN analysts saying, ooh, look at this.
Yeah. No, I like it too because, and I won't try to explain it right now. We talked a little bit about it yesterday, Tiff, the difference between wide zone, mid zone. I know we talked a little bit about it Monday as well. There are just so many intricate details too, and there's layers to what they're trying to do. And we'll talk about it a little bit at the top of the hour and kind of dive into why that's more friendly for a guy like Caleb McGarry to run mid zone than it is wide zone. We'll talk about, look, man, I don't want to get too deep into the weeds, but second steps and footwork and everything else that goes along with a little mid zone, a little wraparound, a little cutback, a little lead blocking. There's a lot of things that are friendly to this offensive line about it. So we'll have to get into that at the top of the hour for sure.
This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured, hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Well, a neutral site depends on what you think Mercedes-Benz Stadium is when it comes to Georgia and Georgia Tech.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Super Bowl, Tiff.
No.
Oh, yeah, it's a neutral site. Oh, yeah.
Unless the Falcons, you know.
Yes.
So, in a couple of years. But anyway, we'll be right back with the college football headlines on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That was the college football remix for you. So,
don't worry, I told Dylan what I thought of him in the talkback.
You did.
That doesn't work. We were talking about this yesterday.
If you're at home, and did you explain what it means to the folks driving?
We did yesterday. Okay. Obviously, we have a talkback button where we can talk to Dylan that doesn't go over the air. And since it's not working for the second straight day, I like to, talk trash to the producers.
It's a
you mean you weren't telling me how much you love me, Bo?
Yeah.
It's a bad idea for you to do this, and I don't think you realize. He can talk to us, right, and we can hear him, but he can't hear you. So
unless you want to call him out
on air. That's my point is, like, he can talk on air. He can defend himself. The bad thing is if we're talking to him, he can't hear us. He's like, I don't care.
No, but we would have to talk crap about him on air, which we would not do.
I look at him and say what I'm saying so he can read my lips, and he knows I'm kidding, but I mean, you know, rally cessation is.
I didn't know that the talkback wasn't working, so I was trying to talk to him.
Which threw me off last segment because you're screaming at Dylan, and Dylan can't hear you.
So I'm trying to explain to these guys, like, if you're listening out there, these guys are talking, and I'm trying to talk to our producer, and I'm like, Dylan!
She was so salty with him.
I was so mad. I'm like, Dylan! And I'm like, okay, now I'm getting louder. They probably can hear me.
But the reality is, I thought you were screaming at Mike because you start screaming looking.
I wasn't screaming. We're on air.
Well, yeah, I could hear you. Mike starts making all these things, and he's talking to you, and I'm like, hey, man, I'm just trying to, like, break down Seattle's rushing attack. You guys stop yelling at
each
other.
Can we all just rise up for a minute for the love?
The worst part about all that is that you both stopped talking at the same time. So I was like, Falcons run game, because I was trying to get the producer's attention. Wait, let me
get waving your hands. It's normally for me to shut my mouth.
Let me get to this stuff. All right, we got the number one team in the land, Texas and Georgia, the fifth-ranked team, taking on each other this weekend in Austin. And Kirby Smart has seemed to have heard it all when it comes to this matchup. That includes the comparisons going around between Carson Beck and Quinn Ewers.
They're both better athletes than people think. They both have awareness of coverage, and they're really good in the pocket. I mean, this guy's taken off and hurt people running when he needs to, but he also can stand in the pocket and make all the throws and change the protection. So I've really been impressed with him, but that was the case, you know, even last year when I saw him play.
I love it, man, because I think that he has grown a lot. Now, Bo and I had this conversation last week. I don't think it was as easy as a decision for a lot of people to bench Arch Manning because, you know, look, man, he was playing pretty well, and I know that they were playing against some lesser competition. Quinn Ewers comes in, does okay, a little bit of rust. Some of the downfield throws probably want to have back from what I saw. I don't know that he connected on many downfield throws. I think when you look and kind of look at his spray chart, if you will, of what Quinn Ewers did last week, a lot of short throws, relying on, you know, mesh routes, things like that, players out in the open. But that's what you do at a place like Texas, right? Can't complete the deep stuff. Give it to somebody else and allow them to make a move and kind of hit some home runs. So I thought he played within the scheme, thought he played with what he was able to do. And Texas and Steve Sarkisian continue to do things differently.
I've got a Quinn Ewers stat for you, which makes you your head scratch a little bit. But then I think you realize why Quinn Ewers is easily the starter there. When he has a clean pocket, he's averaging five and a half yards of average depth of the target, right? So he's throwing the ball about 5.5 yards down the field, and he's getting the ball out within right around 2 seconds. That's with a clean pocket, 70.1.9 passer grade. When he is pressured, his passing grade goes up to a 78. He's averaging 10 yards of depth for the target, so he's throwing the ball 10 yards or more down the field. And he's buying himself an extra second and a half when he is pressured. So what I would say that is Quinn Ewers does a really good job of keeping plays alive and creating plays down the field with his arm and not just taking off. And that's one thing I can think of. What do you think? You disagree?
It's just frustrating when you just think of, man, those guys must be so good at picking up blitzes, you know, stepping up, you know, allowing Quinn Ewers the time to step up in the pocket.
No, it's all Quinn Ewers.
And this guy hits me. This guy hits me with
Quinn Ewers.
He's buying himself. He's buying himself an extra couple of seconds. Sure. Yeah. He's stiff-arming and rolling out. Yeah, sure. He has great blocking in front of him, and it takes all of them, man. I know that you think that you'd stiff-arm and roll out of the pocket, but you wouldn't.
That's not what I said. I said he's able to step up in the pocket, does a good job of it. He's able to move around, stay accurate, keep his eyes downfield, and make the big plays happen instead of just abandoning the pocket that's collapsing around him.
Yeah, you know,
the offensive
honestly,
play.
On a serious note, and I know we're going to move on, I hear him say, I dare you. I dare you to freaking blitz me. I dare you to blitz me. I will tear you apart. That's a Steve Sarkisian thing, too, by the way. Ding.
You can't ding your own self.
That is going to be missing in this matchup this weekend between Georgia and Texas is the Bulldogs, his all-SEC linebacker, Smile Mundon, is going to be out for this game. This is according to CBS Sports. He has missed Georgia's last two games with a foot injury, and there is currently no timetable for his return. So this is one of the biggest games in college football, you know, of the season so far. Could be one of the biggest ones of the year, but it's a tough break for them to be without their linebacker.
I don't think this is anything new for Georgia fans, unfortunately. They've been dealing with injuries throughout the season on both sides of the ball. And, you know, obviously we've kind of talked about it. And, you know, Texas has had a little bit better luck, obviously, other than the running back spot, which they've lost a number of guys there. But when you look at this defense, man, it seems like at every level they're just dealing with something that just they're having trouble overcoming it, to be honest with you. We talk so much about Georgia and their defense and the questions. Like, dude, man. The depth is being tested right now.
Well, and I don't think it's quite to the level it's been in the past. I mean, I know that it's fun to brag about recruiting titles and where you rank every year, but the development's a big part of it. And I don't know, they've lost a lot of guys over the last couple of years, especially up front. I don't know if they've had guys step up to quite that level yet. On the other side, though, Texas up front, to your point, Mike, on the offensive line – and the defensive line, they look like the team that Georgia was a couple years ago.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to some of these bigger matchups of the weekend. Just wanted to highlight the team in our backyard, which is Georgia Tech. They are taking on the 12th-ranked team in Notre Dame on Saturday.
I got to be honest, I don't like the fact that this game's at Mercedes-Benz. I don't like it. I think that it just allows Notre Dame fans to kind of come in and overtake. Man, put that thing in Bobby Dodd and let them fans take over. Let them take over. I don't want it to be at the Benz, but oh well, should be a cool atmosphere.
Yeah, look, you know what? Go support your team wherever they're at. And I would rather see the backdrop of what Atlanta is at Bobby Dodd, just because I think it's a special environment the way it looks. Reality situation is so is Mercedes-Benz. This is a huge. This could be the biggest game to this point of the Brent Key era. This could be the biggest game, because if you win this game, you go to 6-2. And I think you just established that you can go compete with big boys. Also, if you're a Georgia fan, you probably want Notre Dame to lose this game.
Georgia State, by the way, on the road, taking on Marshall. Tennessee and Bama, Crimson Tide on the road.
Yeah,
in
I mean,
Knoxville.
I'm nervous, man.
So,
I'm not gonna sugarcoat it.
You should be.
This another ho hum matchup. I mean, it's not these two. There's no
rivalry.
There's nothing big about this game, right? I'm just being real. There's no rivalry here. There's just another.
Wait till that fog falls over the stadium. Either way,
I'm
on
just
Saturday.
Kidding.
That's a tough place to play.
It is. I've been there a couple times and. They bring it, man, and they definitely will, you know, this coming weekend, man. So that'll be a fun matchup. No Bama fans are nervous. Tennessee not playing extremely well either. So we'll see what happens.
I just said it was the biggest game of the Brent Key era. This could be the biggest game of early of the Kalen DeBoer era, because the Georgia game's nice, but it's a distant pass right now for Bama fans. Right, Mike?
How do the Falcons match up with the Seahawks? We'll tell you. And cackle, I guess, apparently, on the way out, Bo.
Sounds like Halloween in here.
It really does. We'll be right back on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're in our 7 o'clock hour. It is brought to you by Zero Res Smart, lasting clean. Falcons Seahawks is almost upon us, and we've been talking a lot about the run game this morning.
Yeah, it's a little bit different than it has been in weeks past, Tiff. And we kind of crossed this bridge a little while ago, and I talked about the differences footwork-wise and why it kind of fits what we're trying to do. And I thought
footwork-wise, meaning you're talking about on the line?
And I'm both. All of them. Okay. Running backs and everything. So what we have specialized in and what I've kind of been pounding the table against is how much wide zone we have run. And it started to amp up a little bit. We talked yesterday, the day before, about kind of sprinkling in like a it's like a mid-zone style inside zone with cutback lanes early and what that kind of looks like and why that's beneficial, right? And to try to talk about this over the radio so people can understand what I'm saying. Essentially, we run wide zone so much that as soon as Bijan turns his shoulders towards the sideline and the linebackers fly towards the sideline, right? As soon as Bijan or Algier in the backfield, they open their hips, they get their footwork going, you know, straight out towards the numbers. That whole defense, reading as much wide zone as we run, boom, gone.
Now, that said, how can you establish the inside or the mid zone, and what players do you utilize up front? Because you clearly want to push everyone like it's wide, right?
Right. Well, on the wide zone, right, the point is that the defense lines up, and they're all pinpointed at that one spot in the backfield, right? And what you are doing with a wide zone is you are tasking the defense to keep their same spacing with one another while all sprinting towards the sideline. So the defense line's all kind of skating down, holding gap integrity. The linebackers are all flying side to side, trying to hold gap integrity. So no matter where the cutback lane is, there should be a defender. If you're running defense perfectly, that's the way it should work. All right. The good news is the more and more we have continued to sprinkle in the mid zone with kind of an automatic cutback lane, all right, is that you are essentially saying, nope, we're not going to go out that far. And Bijan is still opening his shoulders. Tyler Algier is still opening his shoulders. But immediately on the second step, he is turning his shoulders back towards the B gap, back towards the play side tackle, the play side guard, and trying to find some of those cutback lanes immediately. It's mid zone with like a little bit of wraparound. We used to kind of call it key when we ran this with OVA Mahaley. And what it does is it challenges that spacing because the minute the linebackers see you open your shoulders, they're looking for the blockers. Then all of a sudden, they're looking back and you are 10 yards back behind them going the opposite direction. It's very challenging for defenses to react to this and to be able to flow downhill and stop this run when you have both of those working. And I love the way we've established wide zone. We've got it on tape. They're expecting to see it 20, 25 times a game. And then you sprinkle in the mid zone and use a guy like Charlie Warner fitting up in the middle of this defense. And you kind of have your pick because those guys are just flying so far, so hard left and right that they don't know that they're going to get hit in the mouth north and south.
I listened to everything you said.
Yeah.
But I'm also laughing inside because I feel like I am in a meeting room with a coach and that there is a screen up.
I know.
And you're going through it. Paired with the you do the Saban thing. I don't know if you heard that. So I don't know if any of you out there listening in the car, it feels like you just got a big coaching
seminar.
Seminar.
Yeah, like
which is great, which is what we want.
Well,
but but you can see how enthusiastic you are about talking.
I don't want to get too deep in the weeds. And here's the thing.
Right.
I've pounded the table through the first 5 weeks. And after the game this week, we must be the only team in the league that doesn't use a pulling guard. We have to be. We have to be the only team in the NFL that does not pull a guard. And we continue to not do that. But with these recent wrinkles, it's starting to make it a little bit more okay.
Aren't you using Charlie Warner in a lot of ways as a pulling tight end? Because one of the plays, which was inside, I believe, zone, when they ran inside zone, and it might have been mid. You have to correct me because I don't know it. Nowhere near the thing you do.
There's a lot of gray area.
But,
even I can look at it and not always know.
But they pull so Warner is on Jake Matthews' side, and the play starts out to go to Caleb McGarry's side. But Algier cuts back. Charlie Warner comes in, helps with a double team, and I believe it's it might have been
Lindstrom,
right?
Yep.
And knocks that player off balance that Lindstrom's blocking and then steps up to that second level. And at this point, because the linebackers, to your point, have flowed to the right, to the outside of McGarry, he actually takes on, I believe it was Troy Hill, who was their nickel, who had slid back in, and he takes him on head on, and it allows Algier to bust back inside that middle area, which would have been basically, I think, the A-gap, and gains about 6 yards. The A-gap is right there over the center, if I'm not mistaken, for you in your car. And he busts like 6 or 7 yards. So they're almost using Charlie Warner in some instances when they run inside or mid as they're pulling guard.
Yeah, they are, and that's a good call. And I think the one thing you have to know about it is so many times in the NFL when you see inside zone, it's a split zone to where – that guy in Charlie Warner is blocking back against the grain. And usually You know, you see it a million times. There's an H-back or a tight end offset. We run zone left, and the tight end that's on the left splits back against the grain and kind of cuts out the knees of the backside end. But they're using it differently now, and it's a beautiful thing to where he's going with the grain. And I'll just say this, and I think Dan Orlovsky kind of mentioned this. He said, man, they're doing some things I've never seen before. Being able to double-team a defensive lineman, and I'm talking about an interior defensive lineman on a guard with somebody that's not an offensive lineman next to them, you don't see that much.
Well, that's why Charlie Warner got paid.
I think I see Kyle Juszczyk do it every now and then, and he's pretty good at it. But you just don't – they're at different levels. They're hitting at different times. To be able to see him double-team a guy with Chris Lindstrom and climb, that's something that's something very foreign, I think, to NFL defense. It's beautiful to watch.
Are they going to be able to do it against the Seahawks?
They should. They should, because This is not a good Seahawks run defense. I know Bo touched on some of the numbers earlier. They're giving up 5 yards a carry. It's near the bottom of the NFL. They're giving up 144, almost 145 yards a game. That's 27th in the NFL. It's not a great unit.
It's weird when you look up front at their unit, though, because they have three big, massive guys in Leonard Williams, Byron Murphy, the rookie from Texas, and Jaron Reed. I think a lot of that might be their linebacker play as well.
Well, and to me, guys, it goes back to what we talked about Atlanta last week, right? We weren't running the ball well, and the carries were diminishing, and Kirk throws the ball, what, 58 times? 58 times he throws the ball, and you don't get a bunch of rushing yards. And then you kind of correct that, and you go for over 200 running the ball against Carolina last week. That's what Seattle's dealing with. They're throwing the ball a ton. Yeah. They're not running it with efficiency, and they're not stopping the run with efficiency.
Can we use a different word than correct? I don't think they corrected anything. But hear me out for a second. I think they just are taking advantage of what the defense. If the defense steps up to take something away, like Tampa stepped up and said, we're going to take the run. But John Robinson is not going to beat us on Thursday Night Football. And guess what? Darnell Mooney, Drake London, Kyle Pitts, Kirk Cousins did. And then last week I felt like Carolina said, you know what? We've got J.C. Horn, and I think Troy Hill's. I think Troy Hill might have like 30 tackles last week. Their defensive backs, they're probably their strength right now in their defense, and they're like, you're not going to beat us on the outside. And so Kirk Cousins picked and chose his moments. Two things for me: one's a statement, and two's a question. First off, I saw some things. We saw some things. Dan Orlovsky is seeing things that we didn't see in week one, week two, and week three from the running attack. That shows me that this team is getting their footing. They're putting in more and more of their playbook, and that Zach Robinson is getting very comfortable in his play calling.
Yeah.
Kind of agree, guys?
Yeah.
The other thing is I think Kirk Cousins is unlocking the running game, because we were watching film. And Kirk Cousins is understanding the concepts of what they're doing. And I'm not going to explain. I'm going to let Mike explain it, Tiff, because I won't do it justice. But he makes an adjustment at the line with Drake London that only you would know if you, A, know the concept you're running, and, B, have seen the defensive look on film.
Yeah, and you understand concepts, like you said. And Kirk Cousins, in the play that Bo is referencing, what happens is kind of a short yardage play. Right, and what you see is the safety near where the ball is supposed to insert, kind of putting his nose a little too close to the line of scrimmage for Kirk Cousins' comfort. Right, and then you look outside, Drake London's got man coverage one-on-one. There's no help behind him, no safety help behind him, because that safety is kind of putting his nose in the box. Well, what does Kirk Cousins do? Kirk Cousins looked over at Drake London. He says, hey, man, hey, come on over here. Come on over here. You're going to have to hit this safety. He's a little too close for comfort. Guess what? Tyler Allgeier ducks in kind of right behind Drake. Drake picks that safety up right off the edge. Tyler Allgeier gains 2-3 yards. They pick up the first down. And so that's Kirk Cousins just simply understanding defenses, understanding what they're going to try to do, understanding how he can counteract that at the line of scrimmage with a very good blocking wide receiver in Drake Lennon. Let's give him credit too. And kind of putting that all together and picking up a short yardage, which we haven't been able to do very many times this year.
And you're hoping that if they can get all this done, what you're talking about against the Seahawks, it could get this team rolling, because the gauntlet – for the rest of the schedule, is pretty tough. You go from the Seahawks to the Bucks, right? Then the Cowboys, then the Saints after that. It's not going to get any easier.
No, it's not.
Yeah, and two of those four, those games you just mentioned, two of the three you mentioned, they're on the road. And you're going to basically, I think, Tiff, I think you end the season against Carolina. I might be wrong. Oh, I'm right. Thank you, Dylan. So basically, you're playing five of your most important games before before December. And I know that every game is important in the NFL, but think about this. The teams you're competing with in this division are New Orleans, North Carolina, New Orleans, and North Carolina's one team you're not competing with, or just Carolina, but New Orleans and Tampa Bay, and Tampa Bay primarily. And you're going to play Seattle. If you can beat them up front and control the ball and not get into this up-and-down shootout, which is what Tampa is down there wishing you do with Seattle, because Seattle's known a little bit for those this year so far. Yeah. They've given up 25. They're scoring 24, something like maybe vice versa. You know, you can kind of feel good at maybe, hopefully, fingers crossed, 5-2, rolling into Tampa Bay at 3-0 in the division and knowing this game could be everything in Tampa Bay next weekend.
We are giving you the latest NFL headlines when we come back and go in the huddle. Broadcaster and an owner, do those two go hand in hand? What does that mean for Tom Brady? We'll discuss next when we come back on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are back here on the Morning Shift, and apparently it's a toss-up of what we want to start with. So I asked, do we want Tom Brady? Do we want to go through the trades again? And you both said different things.
This is where I'm going to go ahead and say that I overrule Mike because I'm management, so this situation I get my way.
So you want trades. Okay. All right. Well,
Tiff, I hope me and you can connect vibes right now and you just completely overrule what he's saying and you go against everything he just tried to talk about under the microphone.
Oh, man, this is tough.
Yeah.
Dylan, what do you say, Dylan?
Time to put your foot down, Tiff. Don't listen to this man over here.
I plead the fifth.
Oh. Hold on. We're going to sell it this way. Quickly, Dylan, which one do you think is a bigger deal?
The trades, because we already knew Tom Brady was going to be an owner.
Yeah, but there's rules. There's like all this whole thing. It's all been outlined now of what he can't.
I think now you have to explain the rules.
That is true. That is true, but the rules have also already been outlined.
No.
No.
They have.
Yeah, Dylan's right. I have to agree with him.
No.
Tiff, tell them about the rules, Tiff.
So I'm going to tell you about the rules now.
Ah.
So,
oh, great. Tom Brady. Love hearing rules.
Well, it's interesting because you're doing a broadcast, and as someone that sits in production meetings on a weekly basis, you do get value out of them, out of getting the FaceTime with the head coaches, with the coordinators, and with like the key players on a team. And that is something that Tom Brady is no longer able to do now that he is part owner, which was approved at the owners' meetings that were going on here in Atlanta, of the Las Vegas Raiders. So I find it interesting.
Yeah.
Is that now, can I ask a question?
Sure.
Is that just when he's doing a game that involves the Raiders, or is that any game he does?
Let me clarify on that. But I know for sure if the Raiders are playing another team, then yeah, for that team, no, you're not going to be able to sit in the opposing team's production meeting and gain some insight. Because like in those production meetings, there's a lot of stuff that you use in the broadcast, but there's also a lot of stuff that, like, you know, just guys feel comfortable in there. You're not recording anything. You're just having conversation, but you're also jotting down notes that could be pertinent to the broadcast. So from that standpoint, yeah, if I'm on an opposing team and he's an owner, and obviously with an owner, you have your team's interest in your best interest, you know, you're not going to want to be as comfortable maybe.
Yeah, it's a safe space where they'll tell you things that they don't want you to say, well, coach told us this, but they don't mind you saying, I think it's this.
I understand why this is kind of a sticking point, because he puts pen to paper and he becomes an owner, and there's financial ramifications. But to me, it's almost more ridiculous how many times we have to listen to Jonathan Vilma do Saints games. You know what I mean? You're telling me that's not a it's not a conflict of interest, but he's still friends with a lot of those guys. You know what I mean?
I
still
worse.
Have to listen to Greg Olsen, and I think Greg Olsen's great. He's still friends with a lot of those guys, still talks to a lot of them. It's like, how deep are we going to go into the weeds here?
Well, here's the thing. First off, Tom Brady's a known cheater because he's been a part of an organization that's cheated many times.
Mark Davis mentioned that, too.
And so I don't blame the NFL, but the other side is that yes, they still talk. I mean, they're going to get stuff, but
So I think this is these are the rules, and I'll rattle them out. But I think this does apply to any, like, in general, overall, mm-hmm. because teams, people share information, all this kind of stuff. So he can't be permitted in another team's facility, which we will do in-person meetings at the home team's facility. He can't witness team practices, can't attend the production meetings, as I already told you, the broadcast production meetings, can't publicly criticize game officials, can't publicly criticize other teams. Subject to the NFL's gambling policy, he will also be subject to the NFL's anti-tampering policy as well.
Yeah. I think it all makes sense. I think the biggest news, honestly, is that now that nobody can bring him in off the street and hire him as a quarterback,
yeah.
right? Because now his playing career is over. I also think lost in the weeds, Richard Seymour was approved as well. So I think that's a big deal as well. But I don't have a problem with it. It's kind of after today, it's kind of a nothing burger as you move forward. And you just look, it is what it is, man.
All right, back to the trades now that went down. Devontae Adams, I'm going to run through them, then you guys can chime in. Devontae Adams now going to reunite with Aaron Rodgers, his former Packers teammates, with the Jets. And that was obviously via trade from the Las Vegas Raiders. And then for the Bills, Amari Cooper coming their way from the Browns in a trade. And then you have the Vikings have acquired running back Cam Akers, this for the second time in 12 months. Coming from the Houston Texans now this time around. And then the other news that's still, I guess, waiting to be decided is Haason Reddick. He has now been given permission to seek a trade by Jets owner Woody Johnson. So that is the news.
Yeah. And
guys on the move.
I get hit up, and I know Bo does as well, about, hey, Haason Reddick, is that a possibility? I don't. Gotta be honest with you, man. I don't know what the guy's got in the tank right now. I don't know how good a shape he's in, and I don't know how well he would fit in the locker room, and I don't know that we would want to pay his asking costs. So there's at least 8 different reasons, and I think people look at it and go, well, the pass rush is bad, and he's an immediate band-aid to that. Okay, but at what cost? I mean, I think that's the thing I keep coming back to. I don't know that I'd want him. I don't know that I would, if I was Terry Fontenot, to look and go, well, that's the guy we want. It just seems like there's so many red flags that pop up and so many parts of this situation that I don't like.
Just say the truth. You want his production without his baggage. And that's the honest truth. He tends to have baggage wherever he goes. He tends to wear out his welcome. Sometimes extremely quickly, like in New York. It's a red flag to me that a team with money trades a second round pick, I believe. Maybe it was a third for him. First off, it's a red flag for me that a team where he's gotten like been extremely productive, it says, hey, we're willing to move on for anything less than a first or not sign him to a contract. The next thing is he goes to the new team who has invested in him a draft pick and said, yeah, we're not going to pay you what you want. And the fact that how that's all played out, they're all red flags. And you can't trust that he's going to come here and have the production that he had in Philadelphia. You just can't trust it.
I'm just still cracking. Because I know that Woody Johnson spoke on this just down the road yesterday in Atlanta at the owners' meetings. And he's, hey, we give him permission to seek trade. But I keep going back to Bill Belichick from Monday Night Football saying, ready, fire, aim. And talking about firing Robert Saleh, man. That was such a funny comment. And I've heard that a number of times before. But, man, it's just what a dumpster fire those New York Jets seem to be at this point, man. It's a rough, rough thing for them.
Yeah, but they got Devontae Adams now. And they got Garrett Wilson.
We'll see.
Let me ask you
ready,
this real
fire,
quick.
Aim.
Let me ask you this real quick. I know you want to move on, but
I do.
What are the Jets going to do when one of the receivers ain't getting as many targets as the other and he starts pouting? Because both these guys have at times made scenes about production or where the ball's thrown or how many times it was thrown to them.
I think it's a great question.
It's a good question.
And I think that the answer I would give you is I don't know, because you don't have a head coach in place that can really make those comments, right? And that's usually where it comes from. Jeff Ulbrich's not going to be the guy to be like, hey, man, shut up. You know what I mean? Like, okay, what are you going to do? It's crazy.
See what happens. All right, well, the NFL officially announced that Atlanta will be the next host, or not the next immediate host, but the host of the Super Bowl in 2028, marking the fourth time that the city has hosted the Super Bowl and the second time in Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
We continue to be the greatest sports city in the world. I said it. We continue to be the greatest sports city in the world. There's no doubt about it. When you look at the Super Bowl, the World Cups, everything else that's going on in this town, man, it seems like every year or two there's a massive major event going on in this city. National championship games, everything under the sun. So I love it. I'm all for it. Last time it was here, I had a chance in my youth, Tiff, to hit some of the parties and things going on.
Tried.
Lots of fun, man. Good stuff. And everybody comes to town. Atlanta's on the map.
Remember that?
Do all that.
Remember when the SEC champion? Well, it still comes to town. But remember when East Andrews was popping and the SEC championship would come
to
town?
I haven't heard that.
Let me tell you something.
A long time ago.
I mean. It was, but I went to quite a few of those parties as SEC, at some of the bars at East Andrews.
I'm sure you did.
Man, it was I'm going to tell you something. It's cats and dogs living together, Tiff.
Oh my
there
God.
Were no fights. Everybody was just having a good time.
Cats and dogs living together.
The last time it was in Atlanta, that was 2018, 2019?
It would have been
2019.
Rams and,
yeah. 2019 calendar year.
What? I was just getting over a vocal. I had a polyp on my vocal cord, so I wasn't allowed to talk. And I was working for NFL Network then, so I had to be quiet. And then I was finally able to, well, actually, I wasn't supposed to talk. I was walking around with stuff on my phone, but I wanted to work. And I got to work the end of the Super Bowl. So I got Julian Edelman when he got the MVP. That was my first time getting to speak.
Oh, did you have note cards? You asked some questions with the note cards?
No, or? I got to talk, which I probably shouldn't have. So
this will make you laugh. I went to the Vogue party, Jamie Foxx, Jeezy performing. I was there early and might have been the only person there early. But I was like, I'm so
but
excited.
Did you get a good
you know
yeah,
me? I ain't the kind to go fashionably late anywhere. I was like, oh, the door's open at 7? Be there at 6
like,
minutes
and
5.
Like, episode where he's like, and the one fan, yay!
Yeah!
All right, this hour brought to you by Zero Rest Smart, lasting clean. What you got for
boy,
my...
Wow! It's Which One Wednesday. You guys know what time it is. I don't even need to tell you.
I'm going
to
go get food poisoning again.
I know you love this segment. We'll do it next. It's Which One Wednesday. It's coming up on Mic'd Up. Stick with us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's Which One Wednesday here on Mic'd Up. Wow! Which One Wednesday. You guys know you love it. It's the debate style format where I ask them a question. They select which one, given the options that are presented to them, and Dylan tells them who made the correct choices throughout the segment. I got to ask you guys something. This is not part of Which One Wednesday, but Dylan's telling me a minute ago about an influencer named Kai that has a special meal at McDonald's, and it's like a chicken. Big Mac.
It's a Big Mac, but it's chicken instead of beef.
Heard of this? And does that sound intriguing to y'all at all? It's not a Which One question. It's not part of the debate.
If I did eat fast food, so it's a chicken Big Mac.
Chicken Big Mac.
Same thing, exact same thing as a Big Mac, except instead of a beef patty, it's chicken.
So, but it's a fried. It's a fried chicken.
Yeah,
it's not
crispy,
like it's like
yeah.
crispy.
Yeah. yeah.
I don't know. Well, I feel like a Big Mac's about.
Hey,
Mac.
Let me rephrase it.
Is it
would
fried?
You go eat a viral meal, like something that an influencer? But I know that like Cardi B's had one, Mariah Carey's had stuff.
I haven't tried. Yeah. Like I guess when the whole the Popeyes, the
yes, yes.
But that chicken was sandwich? During. When,
it seems
was
like
that?
It was during COVID.
No, it
was.
No, it was before COVID.
Was it?
It
That's
was
5 years
it
ago.
It was 2019.
There's
Sheesh.
No way that was 5 years ago.
I remember it because I was working. I was producing Dukes and Bell at the time, and Carl brought in.
There's no way
he
that
brought
was
in.
He brought in a Popeyes and a Chick-fil-A, right? And he
yeah,
blind tested.
And he blind tested, and I correctly identified each one.
No, it had to be. I was. I had. I think I was living in. Okay, then I was living in Charlotte then. Okay.
Well, I'm a big fan of McDonald's.
Yes. Okay.
And if you're listening, McDonald's, if anybody wants to drop off some McGriddles for me, some bacon.
Well, this is my
for all of us.
It's not time for you to beg for food from McDonald's, even though it does sound kind of good. I'll beg for food if we need it. Speaking of somebody bringing you food, how about this one? We'll start Which One Wednesday with this. We were talking about Dylan giving all his shout outs during the hometown take earlier. All right.
That was a shout out to the Uber drivers,
Uber drivers,
the cab drivers,
the Lyft
drivers,
the Uber
drivers,
the
commercial truck drivers,
anybody who holds a
dump
steering wheel.
Drivers.
Did you shout out the race car drivers?
That's right.
You know what? You need to throw that one in there too. How about this? Which job would you rather have? Would you rather be a truck driver or an Uber driver? Would you rather drive an 18-wheeler or would you rather drive Uber around town? Bo went to the airport yesterday. No, it's all good. Tip, go ahead.
18-wheeler hands down. I'm not dealing with randos getting in my vehicle that – and then you have to pick which time you want to drive. I've talked to some
drivers. You don't
get
to go home every night.
Well, I've talked to some drivers that choose not to come out past a certain time because of the clientele that is out in the evening. So if you want to not be bothered with anybody, you drive the 18-wheeler. Even though those are long treks, long journeys, lots of respect for those guys. and gals. So
Asphalt Cowboys.
Yes.
What do you think, Bo?
My real answer is I agree with Tiffany because I might have some family that was truck drivers, and I know quite a few. However, I'm going to go with an Uber driver or Lyft driver, and here's why. Because I see the way regular moronic drivers treat truck drivers, and it drives me nuts. They cut them off. They tailgate them. They don't give them space. And I will tell you as a personal answer, if I was a truck driver, I would end up in jail for road rage. So I will tell you that I will say a Lyft driver for everyone's safety, including my own. But I despise the way truck drivers on the roads are treated by other drivers.
Co-signing with Tiff's answer. I love it. All right, let's pivot to football. Let's do this. Which quarterback was happier with their new wide receiver? Which quarterback was happier when they got the news about their new wide receiver? Is it Josh Allen, knowing that he's going to get Amari Cooper? Or is it Aaron Rodgers, knowing that Devontae Adams is headed to town? Which quarterback was happier when they got the news about their new wide receiver yesterday? Bo, we'll start with you.
Well, I can tell you that it was Aaron Rodgers because he got his BFF back finally. You know, they are finally been reunited. They were so happy to be together. They're already in the same building, which I don't think the Jets facility. That's probably Aaron Rodgers' condo in New York or New Jersey or wherever he's staying, because he's like, hey, well, you want to come do my TV show with me, best old pal, because you're back and you're going to be catching balls
with
me.
You can stay with me. I'll go over the playbook.
And I mean, you and I, we can stay up late. We can play Madden, you know, together, and we can get a connection going.
A lot of disrespect over there,
so,
Tiff.
I was grappling with this, but the question is, will they be happy together the rest of the season? That's the significant question, where I feel like the Bills are already a contender. So now you've just added in a piece in Amari Cooper, who, by the way, is not a nice guy. I think I had him somewhere before, but not extremely talkative, right?
Yeah, he's kind of a quiet guy.
You don't really
silent
see
assassin,
him like,
if you will.
Yeah, exactly. And so I feel like that is what that Bills receivers room needs. And he'll blend in just fine, because I got to talk to every single one of the guys in that Bills receivers room. Good group of modest guys. Yeah. They think they just needed that
Mac
mega.
Collins up
that
there.
Mega, yeah.
Yeah.
Like spaghetti with his hands.
Great answer. All right, let's do this one. The Super Bowl, it was announced, will be here in a couple of years. All right. Now, I want you to get in the right frame of mind with me. All right. The halftime starts, the lights go down. Would you rather hear this song first? Or, guys, when the lights go down at halftime, would you rather hear this song first?
Oh, no, don't make me choose this.
I'm good with either one.
I'm always going to lean.
I'm good with either one. Let's go.
I'm always going to lean towards Jeezy.
Oh,
but,
all right, Tiff. You're up to bat. Which one do you want?
What if it was a collab?
You can't do
and
that.
And they merged.
It's not fine on Fair Foul.
It is, because there's so many great artists here in Atlanta that you can't just have just one. So, I mean, if you wanted to play the first couple notes, great. But then when the lights come on, you just see everybody else.
And that, honestly, your answer is exactly what I said the first song. Like, what are we going to lead with? When the lights go down, what do you want to hear? Because I think there'll be a collab. There's no
All
doubt
right.
about it.
I feel like if you're playing to the national audience, which everyone's watching, the first couple notes, the Welcome to Atlanta, Ludacris, like, I feel like everybody knows that. But I'm not saying that everybody knows Jeezy, because I am
big Jeezy fan.
Yes.
Big Jeezy fan.
Yes. So, but I guess if that's what they were going to do, then the league maybe might do that. But you have to have Jeezy involved in this, or I will boycott.
I was looking at his invisible watch right now. Go ahead, Bo.
I took too much time, like you were giving your little impersonations of Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers.
Which was still quicker, and you're still talking, by the way. Ding.
Ding.
It's
Dylan, can you cut her mic off so I can answer, maybe? All right, is this a Tiff segment again?
You're still wasting time.
Dude, it's Welcome to Atlanta all day, every day. It's the OG. Before Jeezy could put on for a city, Jermaine Dupri and Ludacris were welcoming people to Atlanta.
Okay, there you go. Last one, and we'll get through this one really quick. All right, which one would be a bigger win? Which one would be a bigger win? Would it be Tech beating Notre Dame in Mercedes-Benz Stadium, 5-1 Notre Dame, or is it the Georgia Bulldogs going on the road and beating Texas in Austin? Which one would be a bigger win for that program? Tech beating Notre Dame, Georgia beating Texas in Austin. Bo, we'll start with
this. Tech beating Notre Dame all day, every day. Notre Dame is considered one of the top programs in the country right now because they have been in the playoff, what, 3 of the last 7 years or some crap like that, even though they got blown out every time. They are still up there. Tech is not supposed to beat Notre Dame anywhere, but they have a chance to. Georgia is supposed to be the creme de la creme, top shelf.
You expect them to go on the road and be the number one team.
Let me finish. When Nick Saban retired, UGA fans celebrated and said, Kirby's him. Now, he is the top coach, which I believe he is one of the top three coaches in the country. So, you've already got a loss on the road in the SEC.
Okay.
You can't let Texas come into the SEC and beat you.
Mm.
Okay.
You have to... You're expected to win these games.
You said that in different forms a couple times. So right. I will say, if you're saying for the program, then yes, it is Georgia Tech by far, because it is Notre Dame and the history and all that kind of stuff. But also, it's about this season and what Notre Dame is doing this season and also what Tech is doing. And this would be a signature win for Brent Key and this program. Whereas I feel like with Georgia this season – the win over Texas, to me, just because of how the season's played out so far, would not trump a win for Georgia Tech, because it Texas is the number one team right now.
Before Dylan gives his judgment, can I say something real quick?
No.
Good job. By the way, good job. You did a phenomenal job today.
I actually tried today.
Mark Zeno. These are hypothetical questions.
What are we doing?
So stop texting me.
Use him in the wake up call. Go, Dylan.
For, I think, the first time this year, and for the first time since Which One Wednesday, big time Tiffany Blackman has won on back-to-back weeks. She is the defending, reigning Which One champion.
And still. Bo knew it, too. I can see the look of defeat in his face.
Yay, me.
He knew it. Good job, Tiff. Nice work, guys. Thanks for playing. Always a pleasure. Yeah. Very much.
I may not play next week, but you know. I'm just kidding.
No, I'm going to call Georgia fans out in the next segment, though, in a wake-up call.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, wake-up call is next. You want to do this job? I'm just kidding.
I'll call out Georgia fans next.
I want to be sassy for some reason.
Coming up.
Wake-up call's next, 404-726-0929. Call us. We'll be right back here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are back here on the Morning Shift. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. It is time for the wake-up call. You can call us at 404-726-0929. You hold on right now, because I have a wake-up call for both of you. I don't need to be dragged into the middle of this fan war.
It was funny
because I didn't rat anybody out. What's funny is Mike walked out of the room first, and there's a fan going that Mike insists on turning on in here. It's only directed at him. Shut your mouth. I'm still talking. And so Mike walks out of the room. Then Bo goes to me, let's see how long it takes for him to recognize that I turned this off. And then Bo walks out of the room.
I almost spit my drink out.
Then the funny thing is, I didn't say anything. I didn't say blank. And Mike comes walking back in, and he's like, let's see how long this takes for him to realize. He goes, let's see how, I can't say that word on here, but let's see how angry he gets when he sees this fan turn back on. And sure enough, he was angry. I get a side text message that says, "You rat me out, didn't you?" I said, no, I didn't.
I immediately walked in. I go, he turned my fan off. And the fan is 30 feet away from you. It's not even pointed at you.
It is. It's circulating dust in the air. It gets in my throat.
You're just being soft.
I have a wake-up call.
Dust in here.
Because apparently I ruffled some feathers. I ruffled some feathers of some Georgia fans. Said, "Oh yeah, Gator fan talking trash."
They always talk like this. Those Georgia fans.
And I think they.
Man, you talking about
my evil laugh of yours is pretty spot on.
Yeah, that was really good.
Thank you.
And I would say that, guys, you can't win two national titles. You can't lose games in the SEC championship game and you're undefeated, and then say that you should be in the playoff. Right? You can't be an elite program and run your mouth like one when you don't get what you want, like when you lose a game and you don't make the playoff, and then get mad when the expectation is you go on the road and beat other elite programs. That's the expectation for your program. And that's a hell of a place to be, and every program in this country for the most part would switch places with you, except for maybe Alabama, and maybe now they would switch places with you because of Kirby. But You that's the reality of the situation. You're expected to go beat teams like Texas on the road because you're that freaking good. So it's a compliment when people say that's your expectations. My other wake-up call is for Garrett. Because Garrett comes in here every day, and I love Garrett. I love Garrett to death. He knows that. That's why. But when you walk in here every day looking like an extra for a movie based in a Chick-fil-A, and then you get caught out on the day before, and now you come in here with jeans and a hoodie on because you're trying to change the narrative, okay? Just wear what you wear, Garrett. And I appreciate it, the fact that you wear khakis and a polo every day in here, which nobody else does. I appreciate that. So be you, and after I ask you to do something, just say, my pleasure.
Why don't you just let him live?
Chick-fil-A. That's the thing is, if somebody was talking about like that, can you imagine? Why don't you stay out of my business and don't worry about you?
Let me tell you something. I was talking.
That's what I would say.
I worked with Mike Bell for 15 years as pretty much his producer. You don't think I wasn't taught that way like that?
And you didn't like it, did you?
So no, now you're gonna do it to somebody else? When it was in good faith.
Let's stop the cycle.
I liked it when it was in good faith.
Let's stop the cycle.
I'll go in there and give Garrett a hug in a minute. He knows I love him. But Garrett, can I get a McGriddle, please, and just.
That's McDonald's.
You just told
me that's
Chick-fil-A.
Well, McDonald's is a sponsor of the Morning Chef. They are the Morning Chef sponsor, so that's what I eat.
All right, let's go to the lines. We've got Hurricane Otis in Gainesville. Good morning.
What up?
Hey, did I step into a hurricane this morning?
They have. There's a lot going on
here. I'm on one, Otis.
hey, you. That's why I joined the nation. That's why I'm a proud member for you. Don't back down.
That's right.
Unreal.
Hey, my wake-up call is, I was going to say something about the hurricane since y'all are arguing, but people are hurting in Georgia, North Carolina, so since I adopted the name, y'all got to remember that people are still hurting, so if you see somebody need help, help them. Yeah, and my wake-up call is, hey, it's for Freaky. He reminded everybody that the division games will be up front. I tell you, if we win... They two more division games coming up quick. If we win those two, our chances of making the playoffs are real good. So that's my wake-up call, and I ask y'all to calm down.
Hey.
I'll get them in order. I'll get them in order. We appreciate it.
I think he brings a good point, though, about the division games, and I think that's one of the things. Obviously, we've talked about it before, kind of how you approach a schedule when you're in the NFL. You're not going to win them all. So it's always like, what do you do home? What do you do away? What do you do in vision? A lot of times, if you can win four of the six division games, you're almost always in a good place to make the playoffs. If you can win two more now that you've already swept the first time through, you're really, really on the doorstep of doing some damage and getting that good seed.
Yeah, division games first, conference games second. They both matter. You know, that's why the Seattle game is a big deal, because you could be fighting in a wild card spot with Seattle. You've already got the tiebreaker over Philly. Go get it this weekend over Seattle, too.
All right, back to the lines we go. We've got Chris in College Park. Good morning, Chris.
Hey.
What up? It's always great to follow Otis, another Squid Nation member.
That's right.
What's up, fearless leader?
Sir?
Yes, All-American.
Doing great this morning, bro.
And Leadfoot Blackman, don't throw up. It's just me.
I will. Thank you. Even though you
all
listed
right.
that.
Let me get right. Yeah. I'll get right to it. Two things, Hassan Reddick and then the running game. I'm not going to lie. You guys have heard me say, been wanting a pass rusher, you know, the pass game to our defensive pass rush to elevate. And I got confidence that if Terry Fontenot goes after him, that he's done his due diligence. I know you guys are talking about his baggage, but the same things were said about Judon. So hopefully, I know his contract and all that stuff, Squid, I don't know how he'd fit into the whole salary cap, but if Terry Fontenot wants to go after him, this Squid Nation member is all for it. And then, secondly, to the running game, Mike, it was a thing of beauty Sunday.
Oh!
I hope you get your wish for a pulling guard, but I think Zach Robinson is beginning to figure it out with calling the plays and how to use these two running backs, and it was absolutely amazing. Yeah. And on that note, I'm going full Jenny from Forrest Gump. Run, Falcons! Run!
Run, Bijan! Run, Bijan, run!
There you go, Mike. Hashtag Squid Nation. Hashtag Squid Squad.
Yeah, I love that, man. What a great phone call.
I mean, is there any other phone call from a Squid Nation member? I mean, those are two great phone calls. You know what we're doing today, Mike? The Nation, we're stacking W's,
well,
baby.
I was going to say, you're trying to find a statistical correction, much like the Falcons' run defense, where you have a day that you finally can kind of start to point it right back in the right direction, because it's been a mafia just laden
and
recently.
Let me tell you something. I think the Falcons, that's very inaccurate. I think last week was a performance that the Falcons' run defense can build on. You held a rusher under 100 yards who's been going over 100 yards. Without Andy Dalton's scramble, which wasn't even a run play, it was just a busted pass rush play. They're not over 100 yards. They only ran for 114, which would be, if your defense was giving up 114 yards, that'd be somewhere in the middle of the pack every week.
I still don't understand why they'd abandon it there. And I said, I think it was 10 minutes left when he throws that pick in the fourth quarter. Dude, Chuba Hubbard's just gashing you. 9 yards, 10 yards, 11 yards, whatever it is. And then Andy Dalton throws the ball, and it's a pick for A.J. Terrell. So shout out to the defense for getting the pick. I just don't know why they abandoned the run.
The only time I recall an offensive coordinator in the NFL running every single play on a sustained drive like that was like Arthur Smith, and I think it was last year. And I think it was Tyler Allgeier where they started leaning on a team.
It was like, stop us.
And he was like, you know what? You could literally hear him in his headset, not realistically, but I could hear him saying, F this, we're running the ball until we don't get 4 more yards. And they got 7 or more every time, and they scored.
I love it. Make them tap, baby. Make them tap!
Well, as if you needed any more time to talk, we have a Life of Squid coming up for Bo. What do you have today? So excited.
I might go do Oklahoma drill Bo out in the hallway in just a second. So
please
hopefully you'll talk about that.
A Ravens fan gets what he deserves.
Oh gosh. Yes, dude. Yes, please. Oh, please.
Next in the Life of Squid on the Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Thank you, Garrett. Yeah. W Sauce, New Realm Brewing, Owl Inn. Try it. It's your new craft lager. It's a light craft lager. It's phenomenal. I had one the other night at dinner with my neighbors. Shout out to them for cooking me dinner when my wife was out of town, even though I cook my own dinner normally, but it was kind of cool. Nice gesture. Guess what, Mike?
It's hump day. Oh, no, something else.
No.
What do you got?
Brown Grass Charity Classic, Tiffany, November 25th.
Yes.
Shotgun start at 10 a.m.
Sure.
I think registration opens at like 8 or 9.
All right. I'm excited.
The spots are dwindling. If you don't have yours today, here's what I'm going to need you to do. Go to the 929 The Game website. Go to the event page. Read the details, click on the link, and register right now.
I'm doing this.
Right now. Or you can go to my Twitter account at SquidBilly929, and I have the link posted right there for you. You can click on that. You can sign up. It's easy. You want to sponsor a hole? Go ahead and do that, too. You want to sponsor the tournament? We can make that happen, too. Just call me or text me, tweet me, hashtag me, DM me, whatever you got to do to get in touch with me, and we'll make it work.
Ooh, 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 look at this.
That's right. Do you want to start with Jerry Jones being disrespectful to our brethren, or do you want to start with
how did you feel?
Dumb,
yeah, let's start
dumb
with that,
Ravens
I'm curious how you felt about it.
So Jerry Jones goes on 105.7, the Fan, I believe it is, in Dallas, which I believe is an Odyssey station. Thank you, Dylan. And he does an interview every week with them. You know, he speaks like Raheem comes on with us, Dukes and Bell in 99. Exclusivity. And you know, he answers the questions, and I've talked to those guys before. They're good guys. Well, they had him on, and they were asking him about some of the decisions made, and Jerry, he really wasn't appreciative.
This is not your job. Your job isn't to let me go over all the reasons that I did something, and I'm sorry that I did it. That's not your job.
Well, my job is to ask why.
Get a job, or I'll get somebody else to ask these questions, man.
Well, first off, it is their job to ask these questions. One of the things that I have been a part of for many, many years is Falcons Radio Network. And when, you know, we're the flagship, so we have exclusivity here. We get to talk to the head coach. We get to talk to the owner. We get to talk to the GM. And at no point has anyone ever said, your job isn't to ask us tough questions. Now, how you ask questions, you can do it in a disrespectful way, but that won't be taken. You know, that's not cool. But I've never been told you can't ask something.
Well, and the line of questioning was very fair because we didn't get to hear it. The line of questioning was basically, do you regret any of the not bringing in anybody in the offseason for the running back spot? Basically, they're talking about Derrick Henry because yeah. He's now leading like the MVP voting or the MVP odds at this point. And so it's like, do you regret any of that? And he obviously felt a certain way and started talking out of pocket about he'll replace said radio host. And,
he can't, by the way.
Yeah, I made it ding.
Now, he can get on a different show.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's going to replace him in terms of who interviews him. But, yeah, you're not going to get that guy's job.
Also, Jerry don't pay them.
Right. That's okay? Exactly the point.
Jerry ain't paying those guys. If Jerry's paying those guys, I'm taking my happy ass to Dallas, and I'm going to start doing their morning show so I get paid Jerry money to do the morning show and ask whatever questions he wants. But that's not how it works. Okay? It's opposite. They pay for the rights, and therefore they can ask questions. Jerry was completely out of line.
He was so far out of line. And if that guy would have been on his toes, and I don't remember the guy's name off the top of my head, if he'd have been on his toes, he'd have said something like, "Well, maybe you should replace, you know, some guys on the team instead of worrying about replacing me," because that's where the issue.
He should have said, "Maybe you should replace the GM, which is you."
Well, and yeah, again, that's not going to happen. It's frustrating, man. It sucks all the way around. But I don't know. I like always have Jerry Jones back because I think that he's better at making personnel decisions than people give him credit
he
for.
He is. He's built a hell of a
team.
Dude,
they have developed guys. He has drafted Hall of Famers. He has drafted a number of guys that are Pro Bowlers, this, that, and the other. They've had three seasons of 12 wins. But, man, when it goes south, you cannot act that way. And I guarantee he wants that one back.
Jerry's biggest problem to me, Tiff, is his when he hires coaches that he can control. I feel like that he can kind of have the upper hand, that he's the bigger star than, other than Bill Parcells.
That's a tough.
That's tough for you.
But
when he hired Jason Garrett and kept him on, he had power. He's a power guy. He wants power. He wants to control the narrative. And a lot of times when guys are like that, they don't want to be outshined.
Well, I think a lot of owners probably want to have some control or want to have some impact in what the narrative is about their teams. The only difference is not every owner is doing a press conference and making themselves available after every game.
And a radio show.
And that
weekly.
would be my response to Jerry Jones is you want the star, right? You want Cowboy star, but you also want the shine. But then you don't want to answer the questions. That's not fair.
What's the first thing you think of when you hear the Dallas Cowboys?
I don't know.
Think of Jerry Jones.
You definitely do now.
Exactly right. And that's what Jerry's always wanted. To your point, Mike, when you are, you're as big of anything known about the, you are the brand. He's the brand of the Dallas Cowboys, right? He's made him.
I don't want to give him that much credit.
It is what it is.
I don't want to give him that much credit, man.
Dude, but that's it. The Tom Landry days are long gone of the Dallas Cowboys, where you think about Roger Staubach. You don't think about Emmitt Smith or Troy Aikman or Michael Irvin or Charles Haley or any of those great players they had in that era. You think of Jerry Jones.
That's unfortunate. I'll just leave it at that. That's unfortunate.
All right. You got anything else you want to add to?
No. Continue.
I just want to make sure.
Had like maybe five more sponsors to get in before we, you know, move on.
No, I've got another story. This one irks me a lot because wherever you attend a game, you should be able to go as a fan in the opposing city and wear gear. We see a lot of it in Atlanta, and that's one of the biggest things that you hear about Atlanta is you hear of a lot of an opposing fans, but you rarely hear about bad experiences from those fans.
That's a good point.
I know we had there was a fight between a Falcons and a Saints fan a couple weeks ago, and then there was a fight between Falcons and Falcons fans at the same game. Yeah. Multiple fights broke up. But you rarely hear about it being a terrible experience. That's because we're classy in the South.
There you go.
Baltimore has an incident where they faced the Commanders on Sunday at M&T Bank Stadium, and there was a fan outside, somewhere outside of the stadium in Baltimore, walking around. His name is Jack Callis. His name is out there, and he allegedly is seeking out Commanders fans. Now, there's video of this. So
I was going to say, ain't nothing alleged about it.
I'm using allegedly.
We have to,
in a legal manner.
Yes.
And he walks up to two Commanders fans and starts swinging. Now, this guy is, what would you say, Mike, 6'3"?
He's a big dude.
Big dude. He attacks fans that are my height, 5'8 and a half, 165 pounds.
Sure.
Ding. You know, Dan Patrick, I did that ding. Anyways, so he starts swinging on them. And then he's in the video flexing and saying, I don't lose. Yeah, well, nobody lose. How do you lose when you sucker punch a dude that's you're twice as big as? Tough guy. Well, he's been found as far as where he works, and he has been fired by his company for the alleged occurrence. And now police are looking for him. The report is on this guy, per Larry Brown Sports, he has had incidents with the law before.
Shocker.
And who's the idiot shocked. That was filming him? Because it looked like
his buddy.
To high five, right? So
it's his buddy.
After him as well. You know.
It's his buddy. Post it. I just want you to know that if you think this is funny, turn on. You can leave. You can unfollow me on Twitter. This is garbage. This is garbage behavior.
I responded to the video yesterday, and I said, I hope they throw him under the jail. And you guys know me. I'm not a hateful person. I don't come in here saying, I hate this person, I hate that person. This dude deserves all the worst things in the world to happen to him. And the bottom line is this. Imagine just feeling enough bravado to where you do this at all. But to Tiff's point, let's add in the fact that he knows somebody is filming him do this. And he does it anyways, knocks the first dude out cold, swings and fights and throws the other guy into a wall, and then celebrates as if he is in the WWE. I can't believe, I could not believe the video I was watching. I tweeted out yesterday, I hope they throw him under the jail. I know that he's, you know, lost his job and everything else. I don't ever wish bad on anybody, but I'm looking at this dude going, good, dude. I hope you need the fattest wake-up call anybody's ever gotten.
I've gotten to go to every stadium other than Vegas, which I'll get to go to this year, that's out. You've gotten to go to a ton of stadiums. We've gotten to do it for our jobs. There's a lot of fans that want to experience that with their families, with their adult kids, right? That they've gotten older. No one should have to be in fear of walking in the stadium wearing their fan gear because morons like this.
Well said.
Agreed.
When we come back here, we have NFL Network and CBS analyst Charles Davis joining us here on the show to get us set for this weekend's games. Stay with us. We'll be back here on The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are back here on The Morning Shift, and we've got a lot of NFL ground to cover. And so for that, we go straight to the WadeFord.com hotline. That is where we find Charles Davis, analyst for NFL Network and for CBS, my esteemed colleague. Good morning, Charles.
Good morning, Tiffany. How are you doing? Hi, everyone.
We are doing good. We're doing good.
Charles, you're kind of in enemy territory because I've got to the left of us a former Alabama All-American, and you obviously played at Tennessee. You guys going to kind of...
It's third Saturday in October.
Let's go.
Okay? And it's on.
I hope you got a stogie ready, man, because we don't feel very confident in Tuscaloosa. So hopefully you got a stogie ready.
Let me tell you something. Over the last 19, 20 years, you've not felt very confident enough to beat us 17 times. So I'm not too – I love you and appreciate you. You know I respect the heck out of you because it's that type of a rivalry. But for us – that stogie's been awfully elusive, man. It's been awfully elusive.
Fair enough.
We'd like to get our hands on and actually light one up for once, because last spring, your softball team came into Knoxville in the Super Regional.
Wow.
We were rated very highly, number 3 in the country. You got us. And your softball team hit stogies in the locker room.
Yeah,
okay?
They did.
So this is how it goes down in the SEC. So I'm looking forward to a great game. We'll have a great time. Hopefully the Big Orange pulls it off. But I know this, guys, you have to understand, Tennessee and Alabama is a rivalry. is one of the most respectful rivalries you're ever going to have, despite it actually being pretty darn fierce.
Couldn't agree more. There you go. Could not agree.
Charles, when we look ahead to games this weekend, now with all the trades that have gone down that happened yesterday, I want to get your thoughts just on Devontae Adams now being reunited with Aaron Rodgers, and what will that do, or could it do, for the Jets offense?
You know, it almost feels like I'm going to date myself a little bit. There's a movie called War Games with Matthew Broderick and Ali Sheedy. And if we were getting to nuclear war, we had this big thing called, you know, DEFCON. And as you counted down from 5 to 1, 1 meaning nuclear war was imminent, that's where the Jets are, I think. Like, getting Devontae Adams is DEFCON 1. Like, if it doesn't happen now, I don't know what else you do. You've made every move possible. You went and got Aaron Rodgers. You drafted Garrett Wilson. You've got Breece Hall and Braylon Allen at tailback. And Braylon Allen is a freight train at 20 years old. You jumped up the offensive line, getting Tyron Smith and John Simpson, and drafted Olufa Fashanu. I can go on and on and on, right? Morgan Moses. Defense has been very good for a number of years now, and they keep getting better, although they had a tough time the other night. Troy Aikman said it really well on Monday night, I thought, guys, at the end of that game. I don't know where the Jets go from here. They put everything into it. They fired the coach. They changed the play caller. They beefed up the team. And they still lost at home in a game that they probably should have won. They're 2-4. Devontae Adams comes in with a bad hamstring that I think we all believe will be pretty good this week. And hamstrings will be fine. Will that change everything? I don't know that it changes everything, but I know this. Garrett Wilson is not going to be overly excited about the loss of targets. I can just tell you right now, I've not talked to him. I've spent no time with him. I've just observed. Last 2 weeks, it's been 23 targets, and I think high teens on Monday night. I don't think he's going to be overly thrilled to all of a sudden have his targets be in single digits. And that might be where we're headed. This is going to be interesting to watch. To me, Tiffany and guys, Amari Cooper going to Buffalo was the biggest move. Because that takes all the pressure off of Khalil Shakir, who is a good slot receiver and has become the go-to guy. Dalton Kincaid, the tight end, who they've tried to, who's a good seam runner. Dawson Knox, second tight end. And Keon Coleman, who was their number one, their top draft pick, even though he went in the second round. He's not a wide receiver one. And I don't believe he ever will be a wide receiver one. But he can be an excellent two. And now Cooper allows him to be that role. Because Keon Coleman is a very good receiver, but he's a contested catch guy. He's got to beat you up with his body, make sure keep you away from the football. That's what he does. Now you bring in Cooper, I think Keon Coleman can find more room now because you've got to put your mind and your attention on Cooper. I think that is huge for Buffalo, and they were the favorites to me in the beginning of the season in the AFC East. I said it. It's out there. This is one of the ones I've been on target with, I think. And now it makes to me even more of a team that should win the AFC East. This is a big move to me.
Well, Charles, I'm going to bring you to the NFC now. With your game this weekend, you got Carolina at Washington. You're going to get to see Jaden Daniels.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, he's been I feel like you could just take it away from there. I mean, he's been so electrifying to watch now, and you're going to get to get up-hand first close look at him.
You're right, Tiffany. Have you had him yet? Have you had Washington yet, Tiffany, yourself?
I haven't had Washington yet. Not this season. Last year.
Okay. Well, we should get together and go see him together. I mean, my goodness. That's where the excitement is. I'll put it to you this way. Let's just advance 1 week, because next week, Chicago Chicago's got an open week this week. Just one in London. The last 3-4 games, Caleb Williams has really come on. Next week, Chicago goes to Washington. That was a 1 o'clock game on CBS, and my crew was assigned to it. It got switched yesterday to a 4:25 prime game, right? Slot in the afternoon. And they get Jim Nance and Tony Romo and Tracy Wolfson. They've gone to the A squad. Why? Teams are playing well, but let's not kid ourselves. Number one pick in the draft, number two pick in the draft, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels. Oh, yeah. You're darn right. The country's going to get to watch that. And I am so jealous for those guys. They're getting it. Wonderful deal. But the reason we're watching this is both of them have advanced in a fashion that rookie quarterbacks are not supposed to advance. 3 weeks ago, Chicago fans were murmuring, maybe we should have picked the Daniels kid. So now they're saying, okay, we got the right guy. Washington had the right guy right from the word go. Yeah. Go to number three, Drake May, his first start. His team's not very good, but he acquitted himself nicely. Multiple touchdown passes led the team in rushing. Bo Nix has started from game one with Denver, and despite some ups and downs, has hung in there and given them some flashes and some play. Michael Penix isn't going to play because Kirk Cousins is playing well and Atlanta's doing really well. And then, of course, J.J. McCarthy got hurt. Right now, it's been a pretty banner crop of young quarterbacks playing, probably above where you would expect young quarterbacks to play.
Real quick, Charles, got about 30 seconds left. Like you mentioned, Garrett Wilson is one of those disgruntled type receivers. Well, we got one of those in DK Metcalf that'll be coming in town this weekend for Seattle. What do you make of that Seattle offense? Man, started 3-0 and have lost three straight now.
Yeah, it's funny, and you mentioned this very short time frame. Remember, they've got three to feed out there in Seattle. It's DK, it's Tyler Lockett, and Jackson Smith and Jigba. So that's not an easy task for any quarterback. And you know what it's like trying to balance it out. Hey, you get some and you get some. But when they get the ball, they're electrifying. The tough part is how you keep them all interested early in the game and make sure they all touch it so that they stay involved.
Charles, we appreciate the excellent insight, as always.
Hey, good luck Saturday, man.
Yeah.
Hey, and good luck to you as well. Tiffany, thank you very much. You guys take care of yourselves. Third Saturday in October. It means something in the South, baby. Let's do it.
We appreciate you, Charles. That was Charles Davis. Thanks, Charles. That was Charles Davis, NFL Network and CBS analyst, joining us this morning. So when we come back here, we'll find out what is going on the Steakhouse. Stay with us here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.